This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Oh, I know what I wanted to talk to you about. TJ Watt. And defensive player of the year. Do you think, let's just say, you know, either he doesn't play at all or he comes back in and has to leave, you know, just is sort of a washout these last three games. Is anybody close enough to him in the odds right now to where they would have a realistic chance or no?
That's a good question.
No, it's a great question.
It is absolutely fantastic. And I don't think so. I mean, Pat Surtain is the next closest man, but he's at plus 350. And then the next after that is Will Anderson at plus 1600. That's a huge gap. So I guess Pat Surtain, with the way that Denver's trending right now, possibly. They still have to play Kansas City. And I wonder how that might affect his stock unless he picks off Mahomes a couple times and he's throwing a lot this year. But no, I think that Watt at the moment is probably not the runaway winner, but he's the clear guy, at least according to the markets.
I saw something on Steelers Depot. It's Betonio in Denver is the guy that's closing in right now. But I still think even if he does almost nothing in these last three games, it's the kind of year where he's going to win it anyway. Like, he's done enough and there's no other great candidate.
Betonio's had two pick sixes that have changed the course of two Denver games, and that's why.
Yeah.
But no, I would still give it to Watt. And that partly that is because that nobody is having such a huge, outstanding season. I mean, Watt with the forced fumbles is obviously high, and tackles for loss. But, I mean, his sack numbers, he's not approaching Strahan or approaching his own record.
All right, I have a question for you about the game the other day. There's a headline here, again, on Steelers Depot. Gene Steratore says, right call was made on Montrevious Adams. Really focused on getting that cleaned up, apparently, he said. And I read somewhere else where the onus is on the defensive player to avoid the long snapper. How? How was he supposed to avoid him? He got knocked into him. I'm trying to get by the guy to his right, if I'm looking at it from Adams's perspective. Am I not allowed to try to squeeze by on his inside then? On the side toward the long snapper? Because if I do, that guy would be an idiot not to push me into the long snapper.
And that's what happened. It's not like Mo Adams' momentum completely took him into the center. And like that was, don't you have to determine if there is like clear-cut intention on a play like this for there to be a penalty? Like, to me, there was no clear intention that Adams' whether it was momentum or direction, was to go directly over the center.
I don't understand the rationale behind the rule. How is it different than roughing the punter?
Yeah, the punter was, somebody was blocked into
exactly.
The punter.
It's no different. That's got to be the stupidest rule on the books.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. And I still can't get over the punches being thrown in the end zone. And we didn't see any evidence of it. There was nothing there, nothing to see here.
Well,
except Calvin Austin, the smallest guy on the field, is the one that gets penalized for it. I mean, with Darnell Washington on 6'7", getting punches basically thrown to his face, what, twice from Slay? And you don't see that?
And then they either lied about it or revealed themselves as completely incompetent with their statement after the game saying no punches were thrown. If I'm the Steelers, and I don't agree with, and this is what we didn't talk about today that I meant to, was Pickens saying the league has a vendetta against the Steelers. Something like that he put out there. Other people complaining, Kabali saying the Steelers players complaining about a lot of the calls in the game.
Porter said that A.J. Brown pushed off multiple times and he got calls.
Give me a break on that stuff. Seriously. You got your asses kicked in that game. You won't find a more lopsided statistical game between two playoff teams maybe this whole year. Maybe you will one or two.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
401 to 163 in yards, 26 to 10 in first downs, or you could have just watched the game and watched a 10.5-minute drive at the end. I don't know that a team's been more just manhandled than the Steelers were on that drive. And some of it was passing, too. I get that. But I would still include manhandling. The play that set the whole drive in motion, and this was after Joey Porter Jr., who had the nerve after the game to talk about how A.J. Brown pushes off and gets away with it. He was just celebrating a play before that. When third down, down by the goal line, legally, A.J. Brown took him at the line and swatted him like a gnat and was wide open to convert a third down and set that whole thing in motion. So while I do agree that there were some calls that were horrible against the Steelers, and if I got the memo from the league on how there were no punches thrown in that fracas in the end zone, I would be livid if I was Art, Omar, Mike Tomlin, and would immediately send the clip of Darius Slay throwing a punch, a blatant punch, at Mount Washington. And I would say, what are you doing? Are you lying? Or can your people not see clearly? It's as clear as day. He threw a punch. So I would be livid over that. But I'm not taking it to the extent, certainly not, that the league has a vendetta against the Steelers. That's ludicrous. Or even that a lot of these complaints, did it cost them the game?
No,
I don't think so. Because there were also some calls that went against the Eagles that, and I'll give you two examples. And this one didn't really matter at the end, but it's just an example of, yeah, calls go or non-calls for the other team too, is James Pierre had a blatant hip drop. Like if you could use that in next year's videotape and then not enforce the rule the whole year like you're doing this year. That was exactly what you're not supposed to do. Blandino went on the broadcast and said that call hasn't been made in the NFL all year. To which I would ask, then why did they go to so much trouble to put it on the books? Why is it in the rule book if you're never going to call it? And by the way, the whole rationale behind putting it into the rule book was that star players were getting severely injured by this. And it almost happened to A.J. Brown, right?
Pretty much. I mean, why would you not call it one time this year?
And now I see where Pierre's going to get fined for it. So he got away with that. And then what was the other one I was thinking of with the Eagles that was a crow? The hit on Justin Fields by Blankenship. And Brady's been all over this. Like, what are you supposed to do? It reminds me of some of the head hits in the NHL where guys crouch at the last second. Like, you're going in for a normal hit. A midsection hit, maybe up toward the shoulder or chest, and a guy ducks at the last minute. To me, that's not on you.
Yeah.
Blankenship went to make a normal tackle on a guy who was upright, and the guy dipped at the last second. What are you supposed to do?
By the letter of the law, that's a penalty, though, so I didn't have that big of a problem
Is it?
With it. Yeah, by the letter of the law, that's a penalty.
Why?
I mean, you just can't hit him in the head or neck area. And the rule, I don't like the rule because part of it
First of all, you can hit a runner. He's a running back at that point.
Your running backs also weren't sliding.
Right. So the question, so any slide? So if you're on me, if you're 1 inch away from me and I suddenly duck and I'm a quarterback into my slide, that's still a penalty? It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. But it is, especially depending on where the forcible contact is. I mean, that's why they keep making it harder and harder to play defense. I don't think that's unrealistic to say.
That's a horrible rule, and I don't even think you're right about that necessarily. I don't think it's automatic if you slide late and somebody hits you up there that they have to call it. If you slide late, then that's on you. You have to slide in time.
I don't understand why players don't forward just dive a little bit. You know, like we've seen it from Russell Wilson a couple of times. I would just fall forward. Joe Burrow does it a bunch.
Well, why? They're winning that battle. The late slide is working. You might get injured like he did, but it's working. And then Mahomes pulls that crap on the sidelines.
Yeah,
and he did that in maybe his second year in the league or so in the playoff game against Tennessee, where he's going down the sidelines and he starts to veer out and then he quickly cuts back in.
He's on a fake slide as well earlier this year. I would just, and I think just because I don't like the slide rule of where the ball is placed as well when you start your slide, I would just dive forward. I mean, is it that much more player safety-ish, like against player safety? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a stupid part of the rule, too. Is who was it for Pitt last year that did that?
Was it Yarnell, like a yard beforehand, and they had to go for it on fourth?
Yeah, which game was that?
I can't remember.
That was an all-time pitting.
Yeah.
Was that the game where the other team had the backup quarterback with the mustache? Remember that game last year?
It might have been.
I thought you were more of a Pitt follower than this.
Limit. Yes, but it's,
you should
run
know
to,
these
it's
details.
All run together.
Remember that?
It was a 3-9 year. It was kind of forgettable.
It was wide open. All the guy had to do was get the first down. And it was kind of like Justin Fields.
I was going to say, are you confusing it with Justin Fields?
A couple of games ago. Exactly. All right, let's take a look at the schedule this weekend, if you would indulge me here. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And What's Cooking, brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. All right, here we go. Into week 16. Let's take a little look around the league. The Thursday matchup is mighty enticing. Denver at the Chargers, and I must say, there's nobody in football, I don't care who you name, that is surprising me more than the Broncos. When the Steelers left Denver, I thought they left the Broncos for dead. I was laughing and mocking Sean Payton. I thought Bo Nix was Bo Picks at the time. Remember, he had no touchdowns, only interceptions. He stunk. They stunk. Payton stunk. I thought they were like a 2-15 team. That's how bad they were. I'm stunned that they're sitting here at 9-5.
I'm surprised, but I mean, the roster that they have, their defense is still pretty good. You would imagine that Sean Payton would sometime figure it out. But yeah, the way that the Steelers left Bo Nix was seeing ghosts. I mean, he wasn't really turning the ball over that much like he has in the last couple of games. But I mean, it just kind of shows that the first initial judgment, sometimes you need a feeling out period in the NFL. And that's what all that Bo Nix needed.
And you know what? He's turning into a borderline star is what he is. He is really good. And Peyton picked it right there. And you know who's turning into less than that? You know who might be, I won't say he's on the Trevor Lawrence plan, but who I thought was a lot better than he is?
Jaden Daniels?
No. Justin Herbert.
No, no, no. Don't put Justin Herbert in that category.
What category?
Justin Herbert has no weapons now to throw to after last week.
Oh, give me a break with the weapons.
No weapons. None. And his best back is hurt. Dobbins. He has nothing on offense.
You know, people rip Lamar to shreds for what he's done. When's Justin Herbert going to deliver a big win? Ever?
Well, he's finally got the coach.
Ever?
At least they're in a playoff position right now.
Because he's in year 1, 2, 3. He's in year 5 and nothing so far. And it's not going to be anything this year because they're starting to fall apart right now. A 13-point game or 17 against the Bucs, 17 against Kansas City, 17 against Atlanta. They stink right now. They've lost 3 of 4. I think he's overrated myself. You disagree?
I disagree. I'm a big Justin Herbert supporter. I think he's the top 5 arm talent. Yes.
You're wrong. I'm right. Have a good night.
Good night.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 0% financing on all 2024 Chevrolet EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd with credit through GM Financial. High of 57 today with sunny skies. Good night, Limits.
Good night, Joe.